hope that the message and the faith of Jesus' church is building you up, even as we face all of the problems and issues that we face in our time here in our nation. We have an affirmation of our faith which helps us, which we find in God's Word and proclaim each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church. Today is from Ephesians chapter 2. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, that is through Jesus, both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Rome in the 10th chapter. I believe I referred to these a bit in last week's message. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last time we talked about the delivery of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The good news was spoken of first from the angels, the messengers of God. The messengers of God were sent from God's own throne room to deliver the good news to the shepherds. The gospel, that is, that word meaning good news. The messengers of God brought good news that a Savior had been born. Good news of a great joy, they said. That shall be, the messenger stated, good news for all people. Jesus made the same good news message his own message, declaring that he, Jesus, had been sent from God with this message of good news in the words of Isaiah to proclaim good news, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said that he was from God, the Heavenly Father, John 8:16. But Jesus uses the phrase, my Father, over 40 times in John's Gospel alone. And Jesus said that he had come to spread this good news, Mark chapter 1. Then Jesus taught in order to deputize the disciples to also spread the good news, his last earthly words, in Matthew chapter 28, go ye and teach all nations. Now, Jesus had sent the disciples out before, and Jesus' last earthly words, go ye and teach all nations. This sending continued, as written of in the book of Acts. And the Apostle Paul would make it clear when necessary that he comes from Jesus. Paul, an apostle, this is Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but sent by Jesus Christ. In the ancient world, one of the most important things to know about any information you heard or received is this: who sent the information? Where does the delivery person come from? From whom does the delivery person depend for the delivery person's message? Another way to ask the question is this: what is your source of your information? Or who is the source of your information? This is still vitally important today, but Americans generally pay no attention to the source of the information. I have a couple of personal examples. I'll share one. I noticed on one of my cousin's Facebook postings an article that the Pope, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, was quoted as saying that you didn't have to be a follower of Jesus to go to heaven. I looked at that for a moment and decided to trace that statement because I knew it couldn't possibly be true. It certainly couldn't be true. I'd never heard it. Sure enough, the source of this so-called information is a man who publishes his own newspaper. Therefore, the man may print anything he likes. There are no editors to question what he writes. The author, by his own admission, conducts interviews without taking notes and does all his writing from memory, and the man is 90 years old. In addition, a person could know how official Pope statements or papal statements get announced and printed. The church in Rome has its own media. They don't need to have official statements published somewhere else or published by anyone else. The Pope's offices have their own reporters and writers. So the statement I read on my cousin's posting was not at all true. And I messaged to tell my cousin I didn't feel it necessary to defend the Pope, but the information she shared was just plain incorrect. That's just one example. I have others. But my cousins, like thousands, probably millions of other Americans, did not bother to ask, where does this information come from? Who sent this information? What is the authority of this information? And yet we read in the Bible that Jesus had this very same discussion more than once with those who opposed Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew, recorded in Mark, recorded in Luke. Matthew chapter 12, they brought to Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so he could both talk and see. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow Jesus drives out demons." The Pharisees were answering the question, where does Jesus receive his power from? Where does Jesus come from? Who has given Jesus authority? And the answer the Pharisees suggest is the devil, that Jesus is in league with the devil. Jesus turns their accusation back upon these Pharisees. Jesus said, "And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out?" We could have looked at the report in Matthew's Gospel chapter 21 when the chief priests and the elders flat out asked Jesus by what authority Jesus did what Jesus did. Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John the Baptist's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or was it of human origin?" The Bible says they discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe John? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet of God." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." See, Jesus knew where Jesus came from. Jesus came from God. And all the references are there for you from John's Gospel. And still, even the demons knew where Jesus came from, and the demons knew the source of Jesus' authority, calling Jesus Son of God and saying, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me, for For Jesus has said, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." "I know who you are," the demon cried out. "You are the Holy One of God." How often have I told you that I, Pastor Gary McManus, do not know the way to heaven, but that I do know the one who does know the way to heaven, Jesus the Messiah, who came from God the Father. To Jesus you must turn, and to Jesus you must give your trust. I'm only here to point back to the one who sent me. Jesus showed me a preacher in a pulpit. My ordination committee, representatives of three congregations, confirmed that I was called and ready to be sent. My ordination certificate is on the back table, the signed copy from the witnesses in those churches. And the ordination certificate is there for you to see. Then the congregation in Illinois called me, then you called me. And you have sent me into this pulpit to preach the message I read and you read in the Bible, the Word of God. And we can still ask the questions asked of Jesus to today's preachers and teachers. One of our problems in 21st century America is that church people have accepted non-denominational churches and parachurch organizations. Their authority must rest completely on God's Word and the Holy Spirit. But as we have seen, many have seemed to place their trust in God's Word and the Holy Spirit only to fall away, to fall out, or to drop out. Some of these names have become quite familiar. They were even famous in their day. And I don't mean to be critical of these people, but these people demonstrate the need to ask those we listen to, those we give money to, those we make our church pastors, where do you come from and who sent you? Some of the following names are people you heard and maybe listened to: Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. Are described first as American televangelists. Jim Baker and his then wife, Tammy Faye Baker, left college to become evangelists. Baker attended an Assemblies of God college, but I didn't read that he was ordained or otherwise licensed or called and sent to proclaim the good news. But 5 years later, the Bakers are on Pat Robertson's television program, basically a Christian talk show. Jimmy Swaggart began as a gospel music performer. He became a full-time evangelist with his own ministry, but wasn't ordained for 3 more years, also by the Assemblies of God. Now, the Christian church's slate is not clean. We had Jim Jones, who by most accounts went off the deep end, but took hundreds with him. Jim Jones was ordained by 2 denominations, but left the United States in 1977 to move his people's temple to Guyana, South America. In all of these cases, the ordaining denominations withdrew their ordinations, canceled their earlier approval of these people. But that has never mattered to American Christians. And here's part of our American problem. If enough people follow you or listen to you, Americans consider that legitimate. Jim Baker also developed Heritage USA, a now defunct Christian theme park in Fort Mill, South Carolina. After prison for 8 counts of mail fraud, 15 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy and his divorce, Baker has remarried and has returned as a church founder in Missouri. In his book, published after prison, Jim Baker confessed he didn't read the entire Bible all the way through until he was in prison. It could be said that American Christians are to blame for Jim Baker's success. American Christians are to blame for Jim Baker's success. No one asked enough times, where does Jim Baker come from and by what authority does he speak? Even now, Jim Baker's new ministry has no overseeing board members or transparency. A reporter stated that it is not possible to obtain information about how much money Baker's ministry brings in, how much it spends, and how much Baker and his latest wife are paid. Here at Daleville Christian Church, for over 50 years, you could and still can request in the office of Daleville Christian Church annual reports with all the financial information for this congregation, including the pastor's pay. The most recent annual reports are sitting around this building right now. Jim Baker's ordination was removed or revoked by the Assemblies of God, and although some want to claim that Baker is rehabilitated, there was never any custodial process by any church body or group to reestablish any credentials of any sort. So we can still ask the question, where does Jim Baker come from and who sent him? I'm afraid that many Americans simply answer it this way. Well, Jim Baker comes from the American marketplace. Jim Baker has buyers and advertisers, and that's where Jim Baker comes from. Now, me? The Daleville Christian Church website's free to all visitors. We have no advertising. Not that anyone ever offered, but you see my point. Jimmy Swaggart's history is fairly simple. After his temporary loss of accreditation from the denomination from his first public encounter with a prostitute, the denomination refused to reinstate him. 3 years later, after his second public moment with a prostitute, Jimmy Swaggart stepped down as head of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries because he had become his own authority of his ministry. The ministry is named for him. He stepped down for counseling and healing. The sources and authority of the counseling and healing has not been made public. Since then, not only has Swaggart returned to his ministry, not a church ministry, he owns his own broadcasting company. He has become his own reason to be available on cable as long as he and supporters of his pay for it. All who support Jimmy Swaggart have not asked enough questions. So what do we learn? As American Christians, we have an American problem. We believe that bigger is better. We've come close to believing that bigger is truer, or that bigger is more faithful. Now, as I will mention in a moment, I get the impression that Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker are all about bigger is better. They are all about the numbers. But what about my hero pastors who have fallen away? What I see is that at some point, the preacher's success in numbers is seen as the church's success in numbers. And it just takes a small shift to begin to preach to and for the numbers instead of preaching the gospel. But for my hero pastors who fell away from the straight and narrow, they felt the pressure to continue to do and be what made for good numbers. And it's only a slight shift. If Jesus wants us to reach the world, and the world starts coming in the door by the hundreds, it looks like you're doing what Jesus wants. But my debate coach taught me, maybe you won the debate in spite of what you did, not because of what you did. You hear that? Maybe you won the debate in spite of what you did, not because of what you did. Maybe people are coming into the church in spite of the preacher, not because of the preacher. As I mentioned, you and I can't manipulate the numbers on our website. Maybe a 4-year-old child could manipulate the numbers, but you and I can't. I could try and preach to get better numbers, but then I would have crossed that line into trying to gain the world rather than simply go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. The instructions from the angel to the disciples. Chapter 5 of Acts. And Acts chapter 5 finishes by saying, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. What seems obvious to me with the examples I have shared in Mr. Swaggart and Baker is that these men have always been about the numbers. More is always better for these men, and the Bible doesn't say that. And Jesus told us not even to expect that more would be better. Jesus even said, "What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" So the message for pastors today is this: never stop proclaiming the good news. Whether one responds, or 100 persons respond, or no one responds, never stop proclaiming the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message for today to congregations: where is the speaker from? Where is the pastor from? Who sent the pastor? Who confirmed the pastor? Get a pastor who is called and sent. Amen.